Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Joining me in the studio this morning to talk about tomorrow's winter cycling celebration is Doug Osborne, a health educator at CERCH, and the pointy end of the spear of Sitka's bicycle-friendly movement. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Rob.
And you guys couldn't have dreamed up a better day for a Sitka winter cycling celebration than tomorrow.
It's worked out perfectly. It is fully winter.
It's fully winter, and it sounds like tomorrow's going to be just a combination of circumstances that are sort of unique to our, you know, the temperate rainforests of Alaska. We're having, you know, a lot of snow has piled up in the last 2-3 days, but tomorrow the temperature is supposed to get up to like 39 or 40 with some rain. There's going to be, you know, water in the streets. It's just going to be nasty. It's great.
It is. It's everything you could dream up for a worst day ride.
Yeah, and that's what this is sort of based on, right? I mean, the idea, you weren't hoping for a spectacular, sunny, crisp day with clean, dry roads and things. You wanted, it's based on Portland's worst day event, right?
Yeah, Portland does an event called the Worst Day Ride, and they pick a day in the middle of winter, and the thought is that they're trying to show that it is possible to bike in lots of different conditions. So I would have taken a sunny day tomorrow and light snow, but this is what we got, and so people will probably walk their bikes in many cases down to Centennial Hall, and we'll have some fun with it.
Okay, so let's talk about the rundown. It starts at 10:30 tomorrow, and it's true, it may not be a great, actually, it might not be a really kind of a biking day, but you can still bring your bike, either, you know, push it or, I guess, drive it down or put it on the, the bus isn't running, actually, so
somehow
get your bike down, and you can get a safety check,
or take the back roads, which is always a good option. But yeah, there's a few people that are going to be out there who will have stands and put the bikes up and give it a quick safety check, maybe a little oil, pump up the tires, that type of thing, and also maybe share some information about how to keep your bike in good condition. And that starts at 10:30, and we're just hoping folks will come in and sign in. The first 50 people who come are going to get a $5 gift certificate to Yellow Jersey for any safety product or service in conjunction with this event. So thanks to Yellow Jersey, and please show up and get your gift certificate and get your bike checked out too.
Just for showing up, $5 off.
Just for showing up. Okay. And you also get your name in the door prize to win a really great Sitka biking jacket. Murray Pacific was kind enough to donate a jacket. It's that bright traffic yellow that you can see from 5 miles away. I have one and love it. It's a jacket made by Grundins, and you get to put your name in the hat for that, and after the movie we'll draw a name and somebody will walk away with this great shell.
Is that what you were wearing this morning?
Yeah, yep, that's what I wear. I was inspired by this year's National Bike to Work spokesperson, my pal Bill Payton, and you can really see this jacket from a long distance.
It's true.
It's very bright.
You were glowing like a lantern, right, as I saw you walk up the street this morning to the station.
Yeah, so it helps.
All right. So there's going to be some contests and things after the bike safety checks.
Yep. Our friend Brandy's going to organize some contests, and we have a slowest rider, which is at 10:45, and you just ride a short distance and try to do it as slow and straight and with as much skill as you can. Most visible is one of the other categories. Best sound and most winterized. So we have a few contests. So that's something else to keep in mind.
Okay. And a blessing of the bikes.
Yeah, Father Jim down at the Catholic Church is going to bless some bikes and maybe an appropriate thing for a winter ride. And so we'll line up and he'll do that, and a couple other folks may join him. And then we'll take off about 10:45. We have our parade permit, and the Sitka PD will be there. So we'll just go down Lincoln, go around here by the Cable House, back around Harbor, and then back. So just a short ride, but we'll do it together, and that should be kind of fun.
Rain, shine, sleet, snow, hail, whatever, is the bike ride going to take place?
Yeah, I think we can make it.
Okay.
I think we'll make it. Some people will intentionally kind of deflate their tires a little bit, which ties in with our movie called Fat Bike, and sometimes if you have your tires are a little less inflated, you get a little bit wider, lots of studs, lots of going slow and carefully, but I think we'll ride no matter what.
Okay, one lap around town, and then the whole undertaking moves indoors for, looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll have some, come on inside, we'll have some hot cocoa. We'll see what everybody wrote, because when they sign in, we'll say, what's your main winter biking tip? And we'll put those on the wall, and people can kind of check that out, get something warm to drink. And then we'll give a couple of the door prizes. And then we're going to watch a movie. It's an award-winning 27-minute film by an Anchorage filmmaker, and it's going to be at about 11:45. It's called Fat Bike, and it's about winter mountain biking in Alaska. So an Alaska theme there.
And that's on the and the Fat Bike, is does that refer to the Surly Pugsley bike?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the film. I saw one little clip, but want to thank the filmmaker. It's Carl Batriel, who sent it down for free and just believed in what we were doing. And so I don't know. I'll see it for the first time, but I saw the trailer and it looked like it'll be good.
Yeah, there is this kind of sort of winter bike. Actually, people use it for all sorts of outdoor adventures. Guys have ridden it up the coast up by Yakutat in the sand. Oh. It's this kind of, it's the Surly Pugsley, and it's got the 4-inch wide fork front and rear, so you can get an uber fat tire.
Yeah.
Like a 4-inch wide tire,
that would be good
balloon
today.
Tire.
Yeah. Go for that today.
And up in the winter, you just kind of float. I guess it's kind of common up in Anchorage, and you got people riding down the trails and things on these really fat tire bikes.
Anchorage, another bicycle-friendly community, following our lead.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's probably what it is, and that'll be fun to watch that, and it'll be very appropriate given what we're dealing with today. This is like Anchorage. I lived in Anchorage a couple years, and it was kind of like this.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to conclude this thing with a discussion on being bike-friendly, and what does that mean exactly?
Just a very quick, what we want to do is, this is part of a process of being a bicycle-friendly community and getting people together and sharing ideas and learning from each other, and also saying, well, how can we help to support this effort and help Sitka to be more bike-friendly, which is ultimately, I think, good for everybody, motorists, cyclists, etc. And so we will just end that with a quick discussion and give out a little bit of information and encourage people to go and help us to kind of keep the momentum going.
We got our bronze star from the League of American Cyclists like 3 years ago, was it?
2008, so 4 years. So we're up in this year. That's why we're turning in an application on February 17th, and this is kind of our last big hurrah.
Are we trying to renew for the bronze star, or are we trying to go up to silver?
I would be happy with either of those. I just don't want to go down. I don't want to. And that's happened. There's been communities who've gotten awards but have not been able to meet enough of these national benchmarks. So,
well, Sitka was the first community in Alaska to get the bronze star for the league.
From correct.
The League of American Cyclists.
Yeah.
And two or three others have...
Anchorage and Juneau went after we did.
Okay. And so they're following our lead. And I guess that is
exactly.
the hazard of being in the lead, is that you've got to keep it up.
Yeah, and also the benchmarks, America's getting a little bit better at cycling in general. The national numbers have doubled in the last 10 years. So there's more cycling, and the benchmarks have gotten a little bit higher. So the bar's raised a little bit. So we're just going to do our best, turn in a strong application, and see what we can do. But we definitely have a lot of advantages. And one of the biggest is proximity. We have a lot of our trips are close. And when you look at our numbers, we're really strong. They do every 10 years, they have a question, how many people ride to work? We're at 4.9%, which is five times the national average, the highest in Alaska of any town over 4,000. So we're really strong there. I think we have some pretty courteous drivers. And I think we have this proximity thing where things are so close. So, you know, the three best bike towns in America, Davis, Portland, and Boulder, they're great. And they have infrastructure, and they have full-time bike pedestrian coordinators, and they have all this stuff. But the thing they don't have that we do is the proximity. Almost everybody in our workforce lives within 10 miles of their workplace. 10 miles is the standard of what is commutable. So we have pretty much 100% of our workforce is in striking distance to be commuter bikers. If we just do the smart things that we can, build the infrastructure and do what we can really, really be the Copenhagen, which is, you know, a third of their trips are by bicycle.
Well, it's funny that you mention that, because so much development, you know, in the United States, I guess since World War II, is sort of, so much sprawl is based, it's designed, communities are designed and planned around the automobile.
Exactly.
And automobile distances, suburbs and urban centers, everything
right.
got really spread out. In Europe, however, you know, mm-hmm. you had, you know, cities thousands of years old that were kind of stamped with a more sort of human you know, somebody pulling a cart has
right.
So they are kind of, there is kind of a more bicycle, you know, a friendly design inherent in those cities, and our communities have gotten kind of spread out. But Sitka, we're like, I think we're more European because our the footprint of Sitka is very much laid right over the historic, you know, footprint of Sitka. This is where the, you know, the Tlingit community was, and then the Russian colony, and it's all sort of here in this little spot, and that makes, that's the accessibility that you're talking about.
It makes it accessible.
We could not sprawl. Doug, there's one thing we have to kind of touch on here before you leave, and that's the fact that both you and I are among the hardest core bike commuters in town, but neither you nor I rode our bikes today.
That's right. This was a walking day for me.
And it wasn't a walking day for me, but it might have been due to travel and my family. I'm sort of the doggy chauffeur and walker today, so I've got the car. But if that weren't the case, I would have just strapped on my backpack and left home about 10 minutes early, and I would have run down to work or walked instead of taking the bike today. And that's part of this program, is sort of knowing when it's good for you and when it's maybe not the best idea to be biking.
Yeah, I think there's some thinking about what's the trip, what are the best routes, is it more appropriate for me to walk, to catch a ride, to use a community ride. I guess what I'm advocating, what I want, is I'm always advocating for physical activity. I am a health educator. Most of the population doesn't get that. So if there's a way you can get your transportation and your physical activity in one, that's great. Bike is one tool. And I'd say in the winter, about 70% of the trips I can safely do by bike, at least. But that other 30, that's where walking comes in. Or I probably will walk to work, and then I'll thumb a ride back if I've got my activity in, or hitch a ride back. So I think having kind of a tool belt and a lot of different options is a good way to go. I used to be one tool, and that was a car. And every time I drove a car, I used up a finite natural resource. I put air and noise pollution into the air, and I put carbon into the atmosphere, which is the last thing we need, 100% of the time. And that was my one and only transportation tool. And so it's been neat that now I'm starting to, and living in Sitka, I think, really helps, have a variety of tools. For this mission today, it was walking with some good personal traction on the shoes. For another one, it could be, you know, like I said, catching a ride or taking the bike. And the thing with the winter cycling is that I don't think somebody needs to take their bike and put it in the shed until April. There's a lot of days that are much more reasonable. And there's some people today that rode, and they may be able to do it fine. I saw a couple cyclists going up, and they were riding, and maybe they had the studded tires on, and they were going in a good place. And so it can still work, but that's what I'm really advocating for, is physical activity and a tool belt.
Yeah, and a lot depends on your commute, where you're going, what time of day, and they're just... Often I can ride on snowy days because I come to work so early in the morning. There's nobody else on the road, and I don't have any kind of concerns about it. But I might be coming back, and if it's still been snowing heavily and the roads have really narrowed and the traction is not very good, and you know, and traffic is kind of, there's sort of a tenseness to the traffic because everybody's struggling with visibility and traction. Mm-hmm. That's sometimes when I'll say, oh, yeah, I think I'll get off the bike and find another option. But a lot of times during that incredibly cold, clear weather, you know, there was some pretty good biking those days, good traction surfaces, and the roads had been cleared. And anyway,
there's a lot of days it's doable.
Yeah. Okay. And if you want to know more about this, tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m.,
10:30, Centennial Hall. We'll be at the harbor. We'll be outside for a bit, and then we'll be inside drinking hot chocolate and watching a movie and becoming bike friendly.
Doug Osborne is a health educator at CERCH. We've been talking about the Sitka Winter Cycling Celebration, which takes place tomorrow morning at Harrigan Centennial Hall from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30. I'm looking at the details online right now at sitkacycling.wordpress.com. Thanks a lot, Doug, for coming in.
Thank you, Robert.